Welcome to the No Reserve Podcast presented by Bid Wrangler. Whether you're behind the gavel or in front of the screen, we're here to share the ins and outs, tips and tricks, and latest trends from the auction industry. We're diving into strategies that will take your auction business to the next level. So if you're looking to elevate your auction game, stay ahead of the curve, and connect with a community of like-minded professionals, you're in the right place.
Hello and welcome to the No Reserve Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Peters, CEO and co-founder of Bid Wrangler, an online auction technology platform. This podcast is all about auctions, auction technology, and an exploration into the best practices in the industry. Today, we have a special guest on the podcast, John Nichols. John's the owner of Nichols Auction Marketing Group in Fredericksburg, Virginia. He holds a bachelor and master's degree, a bunch of designations in the auction industry, including the CAI designation. He was the 1994 Virginia State Champion Auctioneer, the 2003 World Automobile Auctioneer Champion, the 2006 Men's Division Champion of the International Auctioneers Championship. He's been inducted.
Holy smokes. I didn't know I got arrested.
Inducted. We're going to keep this in the podcast. Inducted for the Virginia Auctioneers Association and last year, the National Auctioneers Association. He served in a bunch of capacities, including president of the VAA and the National Auctioneers Association. Thanks for joining me today, and I'm glad you're not indicted, John.
Straight from prison, indicted. I probably should have been indicted for some things I did when in my teenage years, but I'm glad there was no social media or anything like that. But thanks for having me, Tim. I'm tickled to be here.
Thanks. Yeah, so I thought we could talk about the early days. I think we first met when I joined the VAA as a new auctioneer, real green, not knowing much, wanting to start an auction business. And you definitely helped me out in those days. But I think we really got to know each other when we started our online bidding platform, Bid Wrangler. So I was thinking you could tell me a little bit about what you remember about those early days when Bid Wrangler was an idea and like drawings on paper.
I remember it very well. What Bid Wrangler, you've been in business, what, 10 years?
10 years. Yeah.
So I guess 11 or 12 years ago, something like that, you reached out to me. We met and we were in Harrisonburg, actually. And you wanted to know if I thought that the auction profession would be open to an app. And I said, yeah, I think auctioneers and auction companies would be open to an app. And so we met several times, pretty lengthy discussions, and we talked about apps. We talked about what we needed, what they didn't need, you know, how beneficial it could be for everybody. And then I said, Tim, man, you're going to starve to death if all you do is make apps. I think you really need to see the bigger picture. Auction companies are going to want synergy. They're going to want website, the app, a bidding platform, et cetera, et cetera. And you're like, pump the brakes, bro. We're talking about a lot of dollars here. And it was you and Andy Harbick, actually, that we met with originally. And so you were open to it. You never said no. I think at first you were a little overwhelmed, potentially, but you know, you put your nose to the grindstone. First of all, you surrounded yourself with some amazing people who you knew were strong in areas that you were not, and you being the CEO, you know, you're a great leader and a great leader and director of people, but you put people in place that knew how to get you what you wanted to get. And so then the app took hold, the websites took hold, the bidding platform took hold. Now we're into BAM, and it's just grown and it's blossomed. But the cool thing is you as an auctioneer / entrepreneur / real estate person, first listen to your clients. You listen to their needs. You listen to what they wanted. You listen to what they needed, and you evolved and are still evolving, and it's still a work in progress. And now, I mean, I was one, and I think, are you over 400 clients now?
Yeah, we're 400 and some now.
I mean, in a 10-year span, man, it is unbelievable. And I'm so proud of you and your team because you have absolutely done an amazing job or continue to do an amazing job. And very, very quietly. You never got into the fray of, well, who owns your data and, you know, who's going to be your competition? And one of the things that I've always been able to hang my hat on, and it's the reason why it's one of the first questions I asked you was, you know, am I going to be the owner of my data? Are you all going to come back and, you know, eventually compete against us and this, that, and the other? And you told me from the beginning, you're a man of your word. You said, no, we won't. And I think it served you extremely well. Obviously, you're well thought of in the industry. You're the leader in what you do. And for somebody to come from, hey, I want to build an app, to where you are now in 10 years, I mean, it's just, it's otherworldly, man. I mean, y'all have just, you've planned, you worked your plan, but I think you would agree one of the secrets of your success is you have put the right people around you.
Totally.
And your team is, your team is.
Another, like, I can't go without saying, like, you, I don't know how many clients, probably 50 clients you brought me in the beginning that really helped us get our start. And, of course, we took care of them and then they spread the word. And that's really still to this day, all the marketing.
People do business with people they like, man. And they, the one thing I've been always able to say and still get calls, I got one 2 weeks ago from an auctioneer out of Texas. And I said, one thing about them, I promise you, you will get your call returned. You will get your question answered. You may not like the answer sometimes because there's still some things I'm still waiting for, that it's a running joke that we will get eventually. But the thing about it is that you listen. So much of your business is service after the sale. Mm-hmm. Anybody can make the sale, but are you going to service my account? Are you going to take care of my business? And that is one thing that you all have been so strong right from the beginning, is that nobody is left hanging. Like, I called BidRanger 3 weeks ago and I haven't heard from them. Well, then somebody, the rapture's happened or somebody's died, because that just doesn't happen with you guys. And that's just massive, I think.
I appreciate that. Well, let's talk about you. This is a podcast for
my indictment.
We can hear about people that have done some great things. So let's, I was thinking, I don't know if I even remember all of the story from, like, you graduating college, master's degree. I read that and I was like, okay, what did he do after that? Like, when did you start in the auction business? Like, you grew up in the auction business. Did you always know you were going to be in the auction business? Or did you think, I'm not going to do the auction business, I'm going to do something else? Where were you at in that story?
I hated the auction business. You have to understand, when you grow up in the business, My friends are out playing sports on the weekends and my butt's working on the weekends. And I started working in our company that mom and dad founded in 1968. I started working when I was 4 years old. So when they're out playing, I'm working. When they're out with their friends, I'm working. And it was a family run business. It was lean in the beginning. And so we did everything. And so I saw what my dad put into it. I saw what my mom put into it. I saw what I put into it. I'm like, man, I don't want any part of this. You know, my work-life balance has to be a little bit better than this. And so I went to college and got my degree in psychology, my undergrad, which I happen to use more than anything I ever learned in auction school, because, you know, we're people's unpaid psychologists, counselors, psychiatrists on a daily basis. And then I got my master's in the business world. And I think I was in my last semester of my master's degree, and I really started seeing the auction business for what it is. It's a marketing industry. It's a marketing business. The auction part of it is very, as you know, is very, very small, but it's so much marketing. And now it's so much more, even than that. And so I wanted to, see if I could take our company to the next level. And so I asked my dad. It was like in January of 90. And I said, hey, I've been thinking about this, and what do you think? And he's like, yeah, let's give it a crack. Of course. So I literally got my master's in May. I went to auction school in June, and I got married in July. And it was a big, big transformation. And for the first 4, 5, 6, 8 years, I was putting up signs, I was putting up tents, I was cleaning out houses, I was cleaning out basements, attics, ankle deep in pigeon poop and dead squirrels. And I mean, and I'm like, what in the world have I done? I've got 2 degrees and I've got enough dirt and grease under my fingernails. And what am I, what in the world have I got myself into? And the good thing about it was my dad and mom were so supportive. They allowed me to grow and allowed our company to grow. And I'll never forget, I think it was in the early 90s, just about after Al Gore invented the internet, that I came to them and I said, hey, I really want to look into this online clerking and online cashiering and things of that nature, because we're doing what everybody else in the world's doing. We're writing tickets on every item and everything's by hand. And they're like, wow, we've been doing pretty good so far. And now we're going to go to computerization, clerking and computerization, cashiering. But you know what? They didn't understand it. They went with it and it worked out extremely well. I look back at the amount of money we paid for some of that antiquated equipment and how back in the day, and it's kind of comical, but they were so supportive. They still are supportive. And I see so many family businesses where that's not the case. The elder statesman, you know, it's not broke, we don't fix it. We've always done it this way. Well, you know, thankfully my mom and dad were wise enough to know that that's the death knell of any business. The terms, we've always done it this way. And, I mean, you saw in your business what happened when COVID hit. There were people that were scrambling like crazy. I guarantee you all transformed more people over to online bidding, and some of them who potentially didn't have websites in that 12 to 18 months. I can't imagine, how busy you guys were because they weren't prepared. And, so I'm very blessed to have visionary parents and, but it's, I'm glad, I'm really looking back on, I wasn't happy then, but I'm glad I put the sweat equity in. I'm glad I learned the business from the ground up. I can literally say I've done just about every facet of the industry. And I think just like in your position as a leader, you have to be willing to do what you're asking people to do. And they need to know that if you'll get in there and you need to, you'll work with them shoulder to shoulder, side to side. So it was a wonderful, wonderful training ground. And I wouldn't trade anything in the world for it, but I'm glad it's over.
So were you guys doing real estate then, or were you doing everything?
We were doing everything. We were doing mostly personal property from about 1968 till the, I took over the company in 07. And a couple of years after I took over the company, we went to all real estate, probably about 2010. But when I started and when I was coming along and when I got into the business full time in 90, I would say we were 75% personal property, 25%. And when I say that, I mean everything from antiques to equipment to things of that nature, and then 25% real estate. And, you know, I just saw and felt like we needed to be a specialist. And you don't go to an orthopedic surgeon if you have a brain tumor. You don't go to a neurosurgeon if you have cancer. You go to an oncologist. And I'm like, I just can't put my head around somebody's going to give me their $1 million property to sell, but underneath of it on my website, they're going to see Beanie Babies and wicker baskets. And there's nothing wrong with Beanie Babies and wicker baskets. I've sold tons of them. I just felt like, you know what? I think we need to be a niche market. I think we need to be a specialist in something. Whether that's right or wrong, the jury's still out. I just really like real estate. I've always liked it. I guess it's the entrepreneurial spirit in me, but I like the marketing aspect of it the best. I guess probably I had some PTSD too from all the personal property that I did, and I just didn't want to see myself in my 50s still putting up tents and now with the online auction industry, I can promise you, if we would still be in the personal property business, it would be online only. But that's still, if you do an online only auction, right, it's as much, if not more work. Yeah. It's as much, if not more work. It's just different work. You know, you're not having to necessarily touch it as much, but getting 30 and 20 and 30 and 40 images of an item and then cataloging them and things of that nature, that's not for sissies either. So it's such a great business. It's transformed more, as you can tell, in the last 10 years than it did in the prior 50. And but it's fascinating. It's in my blood. My daughter works for us now, and we're tickled to death that she's on our team. And so it's God's been good to us. He's blessed us more than we deserve. And I've, you know, along the way met great people like you who are just like family. So it's given me more than I'll ever give it. That's for sure.
Well, thanks, man. So moving like more specified to kind of current business, you run real estate auctions and you always have an online component. I don't think you always have online action because you're running a lot of auctions with simulcast, but I thought it'd be kind of cool if you could maybe give a story when like the online component was really integral in that live auction to the success of a deal. You think of something like that?
I think the online component is integral every time we do anything. And I will go without the live portion before I go without the online portion. We have and are very, and you're exactly right. Our business model is to do a hybrid live on site bidding with real time online bidding. And, I know that it didn't used to be this way, but we are getting as many bidders, if not more online than we are getting live. Occasionally, you know, it'll be reversed, but I'd say right now it's probably 50-50. I love the fact that even though I might have 15 bidders, 20 bidders live, can look on our laptop and see I have 15, 20, 25 bidders online. What's even more great is that they're not just local. They're from all over the world, all over the United States. I can't fathom going back to the way it used to be. I wouldn't want to. Our bidders love it. Our sellers love it. I guess my biggest story, if you will, as far as an example, is we sold a piece of property one time and it in our traditional fashion with live on site with an online live online component. And our bidder had looked at the property. They were employed by the State Department. He had actually flown his wife up from Costa Rica to look at the property. She flew back and they bid on their phone in Costa Rica and bought this property. And it wasn't a cheap property. It was pretty sizable and everything was absolutely like clockwork. But in our area, as you know, where we live and we do business all over Virginia, Maryland, West Virginia, DC, things of that nature. But in our area, when you're 40 miles, 45 miles south of Washington, D.C., traffic is not always cooperative. Yeah. And so if, you know, people love the fact that they can sit here with this and bid. And it is so amazing to be able to sit down in front of my seller and say, hey, look, this is not like the old days. You're just not going to have people in front of you. We're going to have a lot of people bidding online as well. And that's what my sellers want to know. A lot of them who have done business with us more than once before the auction starts, they want to come and go, how many bidders do we have online? And I mean, that's awesome. I mean, it's just, like I said before, in my ignorance, I probably would have fought it 15 years ago. I can't imagine doing an event without it. And, we have even gone as far as now we have a portable cell tower that if I'm in a location where I have limited cell service, rather than get on Starlink or whatever the case is, we set up our own portable cell tower and it will telescope up, I don't know, 12, 15, 16 feet. And if I get one bar, we are going to make this work. If we cannot make it work the way I want to, I have used it at least for a telephone for somebody in our office to hear what we're doing and can take care of the online bidding. But I come hell or high water, we are not going to do a real estate auction event without an online component. My clients expect it. My bidders expect it. And I think it's the best thing for my sellers.
Thanks. Well, that kills my next question, which is great. We're like, that was a good experiential story there. I didn't know you had your own cell tower. That's pretty cool.
Well, I mean, you can buy them and it's a booster, but I wanted one that's better than typical. So you've really got to, you basically are creating your own cell. I looked into Starlink, I looked into things of that nature, and thankfully, because of where we live, and now you can get down in Southwest Virginia and you got to pipe sunshine into some of those places, and it's just not, but you know what? There again, if that's the case, maybe the best thing is not to have a live event and to have only an online component. Because like I said, and we did it last week, this past week, we had a real piece of real estate and it was remote. It was way down in Southwest Virginia. We did it online only because I could not get an online component doing it live on site. So it's, I think you've got to go where your buyers are going to be able to compete. And this, the app makes it so easy, bid from their laptop, desktop, tablet, cell phone, whatever the case is. And it's just a part of customer service. My daughter interviewed me the other day for some company videos that are coming up, some promos. And one of her questions was, online bidding, convenience or a scam? And I'm like, what? And I'm like, it's only a scam if you're dishonest. And I'm like, no, we spend the money and we are with the best because this is giving our customers, clients, sellers, buyers, the best service possible. And that's what it does. And it's got to be reliable. It's got to be technologically sound, up to date. It's got to be user friendly. And so, you know, you guys are all that. And my, like I said, my buyers and sellers love it.
Thanks, man. All right. So real estate isn't the only thing you do, because you've done a lot of contract auctioning over the years. And I thought maybe we could talk about that just a little bit. I don't know nearly as much about that. But what can you tell our listeners about how to break into that industry if they're an auctioneer starting out, or maybe they're already in it and they want to progress higher and higher paying gigs, move around? How do you what advice do you have for listeners in the space of contract auctioning?
Yeah, it's changed a lot, Tim. It is not what it was when my dad started in 1968. It's different. The internet has made it different. One of the contract gigs that was out there was Insurance Auto Auction, IAA. They're a salvage auction company. And one day the CEO came in and said, all my auctioneers are terminated. We're going online only. We're going to have a robo auctioneer. All right. Well, that did away with that. One of the companies that I work for, I now do three auctions Monday and Tuesday mornings right here from my desk. I never leave my house. It is a virtual auction component. I am selling, and I'm selling to people all over the world and they're bidding, but it's totally virtual. It is a different dynamic. I have told many people that if I had a child who wanted to get into the contract auctioneer work, I would probably say, no, we're going to the real estate end of things, because I really do think you'll have certain industries that the contract auctioneer will always be a part of. And I think that's cattle, horses, livestock industry, and possibly automobiles. Although the automobile industry, who knows, man? I mean, it's a lot of bidding online. I would say right now in the automobile auction industry, selling 65 to 70% to online bidders, if I had to guess, which is a lot. It's an awful lot. And, you know, that did obviously not, was not the case. There again, I didn't like it when it started 20 years ago. Now I can't imagine doing an automobile auction without the internet. And so they preview the items, but you know, it's an online component. Now, can the live cry auctioneer always bring something more to the table than a static online bidding portal or a robo auctioneer? Absolutely. I mean, 100%. I will totally always say that. And I think there'll always be a place for a top shelf live cry auctioneer. And I will be a purist till the day I die. And I'm a huge proponent of the IAC of different automobile bid calling contests, the IAC, the International Auctioneers Championship. I love it. But I will say you're seeing those numbers go down and down and down and down and down because I think you're seeing a bit of a transition. It's no different than live on-site auctions. You know, back when we were kids, Saturdays, tents in the yard, all the antique furniture out underneath the tents, really big in your neck of the woods in the Shenandoah Valley. Now some of the largest companies that did that, what are they? Online only. Online only.
Yeah.
And instead of having 200 people that might sit there for 3 or 4 hours, they can have 1,000 people online bidding indefinitely. And so life just changes, you know, life gets busy and it's not the same as it was when you and I were kids. And, you know, we were just talking before we went live about like this weekend, you're going to be at an AAU basketball tournament with your son. Everybody's working 40, 60, 80 hour weeks, Monday through Friday, Monday through Thursday. So what are the off times for? Children, sports, yard, store, dry cleaners, laundry. Oh, I got to date my wife or my husband every once in a while. I got to make sure that our relationship stays good. I do not have time to go eat a hot dog and get a Coke and sit under a tent in 100 degree weather for 6 hours. That worked in 1974. That probably worked in 1984. And it may work in some more rural areas of the country. But it doesn't get much more rural than the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia in places. And a lot of those big companies have gone online only. So it's just different.
Online only during COVID cost me some money this week because my wife found a couple of antique books on their site and our Bible study was coming over. Like the door was opening. She's like pounding the button and my daughter asked her, so, how much are you going to bid on that book? And she said, whatever it takes to win.
Period. End of story. Happy wife, happy life. And you know what? She would have probably never seen that book if it was only offered at live auction, because you can sit there in your sweats at 11 o'clock at night and preview those catalogs online. Necessarily bad or good or evil. No. It's just different. We're not still driving Model Ts. We're driving Teslas or we're driving, you know, automatic driving cars. This business just evolves.
Well, you said it at the beginning and, you know, it is weird since I own an online bidding platform. I'm not just promoting that, but as we're having this conversation, the thought was like, you started by saying this is a marketing business. Like I'm in the marketing business.
100%.
It's all about exposure. And what you're saying is totally right, because the more, you know, when you put it online there and it's closing at 7 p.m. and you don't have to be there, you've now exposed that product to so many more potential buyers because there's not a cost to them in buying. Like they don't have to go 40 minutes to go to the sale to maybe get the book or not. Instead, they're literally opening
the we're in the Amazon generation. Yeah. I was talking to Chris Rasmus. And he even said, John, they don't want to wait 24 hours to find out if they won the bid or not at an online auction. Look how far we've come. Amazon, Walmart.com. I just looked at a tube. This is how lazy I am. I looked at a tube of Sensodyne toothpaste at Walmart.com before I came on the air with you because I was too lazy to drive 3 miles to get it, and they can deliver it to my house today. Now, I didn't get it because the delivery fee was as much as the tube of toothpaste. So I'll just go down the street tomorrow to CVS or whatever and get it. However, people's expectations are different. And so I want everybody that listen to this, I don't want you to say, well, John's anti-live cry auctioneer. Anybody that knows me knows that's just crap. That's not true. But how am I going to sit in front of a client and go, it's better to have 300 bidders in front of you than 1,300 bidders?
Right.
I can't. We're in fiduciary relationships to the client.
You've done a good job of doing both, right? Like you still can bring what's there for that live component. And I've been to your auctions. Lots of people show up. They want to be there live. Especially
absolutely
real estate. And then
absolutely
you've got that online component too. And I think you do that really well.
I think there's a place for both. And even some auction companies, as you well know, they'll do virtual auctions. You know, they'll just like I do with a couple of my clients. I'm doing it from my desk. You have the online bidding component. Then we're going to flip it over to a virtual live cry auction, but you don't have to weather the storm. Look, man, when I grew up, I remember having to get up in the middle of the night and put heaters under tents because there was ice, there was snow, you're freezing, tents blowing away. Oh, my lunch truck didn't show up. What am I going to do? I don't have enough labor to get the items out of the house. It was hard to do business then. And I mean, I just think that we've been so blessed that now we can work smarter, not necessarily harder. And both have its challenges, of course, but it's just a good time to be in the business. It's much better than what I grew up in. That's for doggone sure.
Well, this has been great. I think as we close out, I had this thought because I was talking to a prospect who called in, and he told me, I called John Nichols and talked to him. And so it gave me the thought, like, I know you get a lot of calls from younger auctioneers looking for advice. And I know that you always take them and like talk to folks just like you took care of me when I was young and trying to figure it out myself. So when you're talking to somebody who's trying to break in the real estate auction business, what is a key piece or some key pieces of advice that you typically are telling them when they're saying, I want to start this up, I'm ready to go, and you kind of like can tell that they have what it takes to go do it? What would be some key pieces of advice that you might leave our listeners with today?
You know, I had this conversation with a young man today as when to Thursday. I had it Tuesday. He called me from South Carolina, and he was very kind. He texted me beforehand, John, this is my name. This is what I'm doing. Can I have 15 to 20 minutes of your time? I said, absolutely. You have much time as you want. So we set up a time Tuesday. He called me. We had a great chat. We were on the phone 20, 30 minutes. And, you know, for our listeners, Tim and I were in CAI together, and we had an amazing 3 years, and it was so much fun. And it was just, I'm going to go back next week to teach, which is, I thoroughly enjoy. And when you're sitting there with these folks, even the folks that were in our CAI classes, you can almost tell that person's going to have a future. That person, the jury's out. This one, no, they need to, you know, do something else. So, and I got on the phone with this young man, and I could just tell he's got it. He's gonna crush it. And I told him a lot of things that I tell a lot of young auctioneers, and that is, man, you can borrow brain, but you cannot borrow character. All you have is your word. All you have is your morals, your ethics. Return phone calls, return texts, return emails. I'm not talking about a week from now. Return them immediately, as fast as you can. You cannot imagine the business we've gotten just because we return people's texts, emails. They're like, wow, thank you for answering that so quickly. I'm like, what? You know, of course, that's treat people how you want to be treated. I taught auction school at Worldwide for many, many, many years. And so I'm teaching these young people, I should say students, some of them were 70 years old. I'm teaching these students, and my advice to them was, don't try to reinvent the wheel. Do not try to reinvent the wheel. If you're just getting out and you are green as grass, hook up with somebody that is established and help their company grow, help yourself grow. You're already going to have that much experience behind you. Don't try to go out there and go, hi, my name's Tim Peters. I just graduated from auction school last week, and I want to sell your $500,000 piece of property. Probably not going to work the greatest. And it's no different than when you came to me 10, 11, 12 years ago and said, hey, I understand business. I've been pretty successful in certain areas of business. I am an auctioneer. I just think that this would be good for auctioneers. So you listened to what we had to say. You took it. You went with it. You borrowed brain. You were already an amazing guy and had a lot of character and a lot of ethics. You just needed advice. And so when these young people, young auctioneers call, I basically say, man, iron sharpens iron. Do not get frustrated trying to go this road alone. There's plenty of people that I can give you the names of that are going to help you. So borrow that brain Find auction companies that you like what they're doing. Talk to them. Pick their brain. See what's going on. Look, I mean, we've been in business a long time, and I still call auctioneers that I really think are doing well in certain areas. I'm like, tell me about this. Tell me, I'm intrigued by that. What are you doing by that? And the National Auctioneers Association has afforded me many things, but one of the things it's afforded me is some of my best friends in the entire world, much like yourself, that are just like family, but also to be able to sit down with the Scott Schumanns and the Tim Peters and the Spanky Assiters and the Joe Wilsons and the Lance Walkers and the Bill Sheridans of the world and the Mark Rogers of the world, and being able to say, hey man, tell me how you did that. Tell me how you sold that $40 million ranch, Scott Schumann. Tell me how you sold water rights. Explain that to me, you know? And so for somebody to be, I mean, I've been around it since I was 2 years old, but man, when you're through learning, you're through. And so I just encourage these folks, get involved in your state association, get involved in your national association, surround yourself with the best of the best and borrow brain. Have the character, but borrow that brain. So, you know, we never arrive, man. It's a journey we're all on. And I think that's one of the great things about your business is that even in the private discussions that you and I have had, you are never satisfied. You're content, but you're never satisfied. And I think that's the secret. I have a bracelet that says, go to bed tired and wake up hungry. And I think no matter how old we get, and my dad is 80, he'll be 82 in June. And you know my dad, Tim, and he does not act 82. He does not sound 82. He sounds 42. And he doesn't need to work another day in his life. But he is so passionate about this industry. He's so passionate about the deal. But more importantly, he's passionate about helping people. And so another thing that I will tell these folks when they call me is it's about impact. Not income. Impact, impact, impact. Change people's lives. Help people. The income will take care of itself. But if you will focus on helping people, the income will happen. But it's about impact first. So it's just paying it forward, man. People, so many people helped me, continue to help me. It is an honor to be trusted by these folks that will reach out to me because, hey, you know what? Nobody's self-made. Self-made.
Yeah.
No way. No way.
Yeah. It's funny you say that. Borrow brain, and like having impact are two, key takeaways there. Like the borrow brain thing I do all the time. You know, I was telling you about certain ways I'm even doing that now in a different.
Sure. Of course.
But like, I think finding people, you know, for Bid Wrangler, I think a big part of our success has been, hiring people who want to have impact. Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Sometimes it means somebody else has to move on because they're not the right person. It wasn't the right fit.
Sure.
But everybody who's here is really passionate about what they do. They're not just like checking a clock or clicking a clock. I don't even know. I've never worked on a clock, so I don't know if that is. But punching a clock. That's what I was looking
for. Punching a clock. There you go.
Punching a clock. They're here because they want to have an impact on the people they're working with. And I hear what you're saying. It's a great.
Well, what did you tell me about Megan before we got on air? Megan's off today. I'm not going to give her this issue because I know she'll take the next 6 hours on her day off and fix it. Let me tell you something. That type of dedication is extremely rare in our society today. And I think you and I are both successful, not because of us, but we've had the blessing of being able to surround ourselves with great people. And yeah, sure. And man alive, it's one of my favorite statements is, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And that is just so true in this business. So yeah. True.
Hey, that's great. I think that's a great way to wrap this thing up. Like,
all right, buddy.
Hit it again. Hit it to us again. That was a good
one. If you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together.
And that's all we got. No Reserve Podcast. Thanks, John Nichols, for joining us.
That was my pleasure, pal.
A lot of fun.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks.
And that wraps up another episode of the No Reserve Podcast presented by Bid Wrangler. Thank you for joining us in exploring a dynamic world of auctions. We hope today's episode has provided you with valuable insights and actionable strategies. Don't forget to visit us at bidwrangler.com to stay up to date on the latest auction technology, trends, and community stories. And while you're there, drop us a line. We love hearing from our listeners. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the No Reserve Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. Your support helps us reach more auctioneers and enthusiasts like you. Until next time, keep your bids high, your reserves low, and your passion for auctions burning bright.